We have a beginning. Where did God come from? Always has been. There was no beginning with God. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. We are serving a God that is eternal. And because of what he's done for us at Calvary, the old rugged cross shedding his blood, he has given us eternal security, eternal salvation. Let's keep reading. The same was in the beginning with God, verse 2. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. We celebrate the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we realize and all know that there was no beginning with him. His beginning on this life as a full man and full God was in the womb of Mary, but before that, he was over everything. He was a creator. He did and still does control everything. And since he does, why should we worry and fret like we so often do? He is in control. Who? The Word. The one that's over everything. The one that controls, the Creator, and the Most High God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Thank God when I was a youngster in school, I never one time heard it mentioned about this devilish word evolution. Just wasn't mentioned where I grew up. But now, of course, it's mentioned. That's one of the biggest lies Satan has peddled out across the world, because the atheists and agnostics and the devil's crowd would like to cram in the hearts of people that we evolved. And they do that because they hate the Word, they hate God, they hate the Word of God, and they try somehow, the devil's tactics is, somehow to destroy, diminish, and try to get rid of the Word, but they'll never do it. Remember what happened one time when Jeremiah was told by God to take his pen and write some things down? And it got to the king, and the king didn't like it. He took out his pen knife and cut it up and threw it in the fire. It wasn't a big problem because God remembered what he told Jeremiah, and he said, Jeremiah, just write again. And if you look, he didn't change a word. And now the agnostics and the infidels, they all want to destroy the Word, and they don't believe the Word, and they try to change translations and everything else to diminish, to tear down, but thank God he has a copy. It is eternal. It is the eternal, infallible Word of God. He says in verse 4, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness. The darkness comprehended it not. The world was in darkness. For the most part, the world is still in darkness because Satan is the prince of the power of the air. Thank God the light shine. God being willing to send his son into the world, into a world of darkness, chaos. We realize that religion was rotten to the core back then. Religion without Christ is rotten to the core now. But thank God the light came. And look what he says in verse 4. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light came, him being the light, the eternal Word of God, and he came to illuminate us so we could have the light within ourselves. And the light shineth in darkness. If you look up the word darkness in the encyclopedia or the dictionary, it's a very simple definition, absence of light. What else can you say about darkness? It's dark. There is no light associated with darkness, and when the light comes, the darkness disappears. So you can't write a lot of columns about it. It just fades away. And the sins, our sins, that so easily beset us, when the light shines and we receive that light, I love to study about light, and I didn't mean to go this way to that. But remember, light has a controlling effect. And man tries his best to simulate the sunlight, the color of the sunlight. And then the clouds or the humidity or the things in the world, the pollution, diminish and change the color of the sunlight. But thank God, an artist, I know one, I know a lot, but I know one in particular, he's really good, he used to teach art in New York, and he has a studio, and true light comes from the north. The scripture says, glory cometh not from the south, or the east, nor the west. Only one other direction. The light comes from a country called heaven, the north country. And read about sailors on yonder sea before the compass and before they had anything else. Their one true guide was the North Star. Never changes. And God is that true light that can penetrate. There is no averteness to it. It doesn't matter the pollution. It doesn't matter the sin. It doesn't matter anything else. The glorious light, the gospel of Jesus Christ, nullifies. Does away with everything. And then remaineth only the light, the true light. He is the light. And then how would we know about it unless it was published? So God says in the next verse, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. Isn't it wonderful study about Elizabeth conceiving and that wonderful story about they were, oh, God always chooses things that looks impossible to man. Elizabeth and Zacharias were, oh, could not have children, and God specializes in impossibilities. And so one time, remember, the angel appeared to Zacharias and said, you're going to have a son. And he kind of laughed. Now, you don't understand, we're old. What difference does that make? God says you're going to have a son. And so since he didn't believe God, he was stricken dumb, could not speak. When you and I don't speak the things of God, we may rattle our mouth a lot, but nothing good comes out of it until we're willing to obey God. And then that little baby was born. He writes about it here. And he was not that light, John wasn't, but he was born. And they were searching, trying to find out a name for this little baby. And God already said, his name shall be called John. Now, Zacharias couldn't communicate that because he wouldn't mind God and believe God. I wonder how many times since we don't believe God and we don't trust God, he makes us ineffective. That's what it is to be stricken dumb, that he could not speak. But when you and I do not believe God and accept what he wants us to do and willing to do it his way, not our way, then he makes our ministry or whatever ineffective. Oh, but thank God for grace. And as they were contemplating, no doubt arguing, what will we call this young boy? They left Zacharias out of the picture because, you know, he's an old man. He's stricken down. They probably didn't understand why he was stricken down, but God did. Give me a pen. His name is John. Suddenly, the old man can speak again. When you're willing to do and to be what God wants you to be and accept his role for life, through impossible circumstances, then he could render us effective again. And he was a great servant of God up to that point. And God uses people that's usable. You don't have to be extra smart. We disqualify a lot of us. You don't have to be skilled in a lot of things. But when God speaks and we say, yes, Lord, yes, and the light glory shines upon and illuminates and blesses and anoints his work, then darkness is dispelled. Thank God for the light. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. God had orchestrated that he would be just a few much older than Jesus. And then remember the story, we don't have time to talk about the story of John, but God sent him into wilderness. He had a great name, but that's not what John was about. He came to be a forerunner and to present the light of the world. Your job and mine in this evil world of darkness is to let his light shine on their lives so we can witness. And you say, well, I'm not a good speaker. Many of us are not good speakers. It has little to do with it. They're watching your life. They're watching your testimony. They're watching every detail. They're watching even how we drive and how we smile and how we go through trials. That maybe God sent the trials and the heartaches so we can bear witness to how great he is to us. And when the world in darkness looks at that, they see light, not our light, his light in us, the light of glory. The Bible says in verse 8, he was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was a true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. Notice there is no absence of light. His light. I'm not talking about the sunlight. Sometimes the storms and the nighttime, and this is a good time of year because, you know, we just recently went through the shortest day of year, and now every day there's more sunlight than yesterday for a long period of time. That's exciting, isn't it? And just think on the same situation, there's no absence of a light of God that wants to dispel darkness all around you, all around me. And if we would bear witness of that light and the role he puts us in, without being like Zacharias that says, no, I can't do it. No, you can't do it. No, no, he will make us very ineffective very fast. Then when you get effective again, look what he's doing. He's talking about Jesus, the true light. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. Came into his own, and his own received him not. Oh, I love verse 12. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Remember what Jesus told his disciples on one occasion. They wanted to be of great service. What can we do, Lord, to, you know, be a great servant? What's the best thing we could do? And Jesus says, believe. Just believe on me. And if you believe on me and trust me and let my light shine through you, that's all you need to do. Trust me. Trust and believe. And then he said that light of glory that illuminated us when we were in sin. And we received that light. Now, when the light shines, only two things can happen. Either the light received, that light received will grow in intensity. And then the moon, remember, has no illumination ability of its own, but it's a good reflector. God made the moon to reflect that. And that's the way he made us. We're not light. We're just reflectors of his light. But if you aren't reflector, then the only other thing that's going to happen, you're going to be a dark black object, and that light will destroy and penetrate and ruin. Light has to either be received, I'm talking about light of the gospel, it's a natural also, or it absorbs the emissivity or the ability of an object to either receive light and reflect it like a reflector. And that's a wonderful thing. You try to make a reflector that takes a light bulb or a source of light and reflect every bit of it with no energy lost. Impossibility. But you can come pretty close. But then if you don't reflect that light, you absorb the light and remain in darkness. Thank God for the light. Brother Randy, if you'll get ready for the song service, we're going to pray and seek his face. Lord Jesus, thank you for this portion of your word to remind us the season we're celebrating. The light of the world has come at the perfect time. You draw all men to you, and I pray that people will receive you and not reject you and remain in darkness. Lord, help us to Tonight we celebrate, worship, and adore you. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for every good and perfect gift. Lord, let's just hallow the name of Jesus. Babe in the manger came to die and came to give us light and dispel darkness in our soul. So help us to receive that light. After we receive it, not to consume it, but be a good reflector to others so they can see Christ in us, the hope